Welcome and good morning.
Good morning.
Good day to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see you. Good to see those faces filled with joy. Amen.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. We must never forget that. Look at a few announcements before we begin. This evening, 4 to 6, the Family Fun Back to School event. Did you have anything you want to say on that? All right. Monday 9 to 12, the ladies' auxiliary lap quilt project. Quilts being made to be donated to support the veterans. See that. Thursday the 28th at 10 a.m. Bible study. And this month we've collected supplies for the schools, and we'll hear more about that today. September the 6th on Wednesday at 6:30, the choir will resume practice. Does anyone else have any announcements?
For the back-to-school thing this afternoon, if it's not raining, or as long as it's not lightning, I'm assuming we're going to have a water slide, so kids need to be ready for the water slide.
All right. Any others? All right, let's stand together and read together the responsive reading. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great.
Hallelujah, for the Lord our God in all mighty grace. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory.
Almighty God, we're so thankful and blessed and humbled to know that you reign. You reign within our hearts and throughout this whole world. And we come today to rejoice and to look to you, to give to you the praise and the honor and the glory due to your almighty name. We also come to receive an anointing from your Holy Spirit. May we feel your presence, and may your presence become a part of who we are, that we can truly reflect your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. So we do have our blessing of the backpacks today for teachers and for students. And so we have a little gift for each student that's here today, and then those that couldn't be here, but also for the teachers. And we're going to ask Joe to pray a blessing over us, because we certainly need it, and they do too. Teachers went back on the 16th and have been working really, really hard to their classrooms and their plans ready for these students to come tomorrow. I'm sure that the students that are going back tomorrow are not really ready, maybe. Some of you may have already gone back, because we do have a wide range of students that go to different schools, you know, elementary, middle, high, college, post-college, or post into graduate work. So we're going to kind of recognize as many as we can today that are here. So I'd like for all the teachers and the students, no matter what grade you're in, and teachers, no matter what you teach, if you'll come up, bring your backpacks with you. Students, bring your backpacks. If you brought them, if you didn't. Like Anna George is holding out on the blessing from hers last year. It's the same backpack. She says it's still anointed, so there you go. And just kind of come. I want to read a little something, and then we'll get Joe to pray over us, and then we'll pass out the goodies. Hey, you can go get my book bag, because it needs it. And if you want to put your backpack down on the floor, you can. It's not going to be that long, but If you didn't bring them, that's okay. The blessing will be on you, and you carry the backpack. Okay, I found a little poem saying whatnot about school, and it's called School Year Declaration. And I changed a little bit of it, but just to kind of fit us all, since we're all at different stages. So I hope you enjoy, and this maybe connects with you somehow. So, School Year Declaration. You are called for such a time as this. You are anointed, appointed, and chosen by God. You have God-given wisdom to handle each and every situation you are faced with. You have renewed strength each day. The joy of the Lord is consuming you. Peace resides in your home, and your children are blessed. They are calm, respectful, and passionate to learn. They are obedient and kind. A hedge of protection is around you all. You are a warrior destined for a victory in Jesus. God is for you. Your footsteps are ordered. We declare in Jesus' name, this will be an incredible, amazing, life-changing school year. If Joe will say a little prayer, and then we'll pass out.
Father God, I acknowledge your presence here today. And I just thank you so much that you're present everywhere, not just here, but everywhere that we go. I pray your anointing upon these teachers and students, not just here, but throughout the world. Never has there been a time when we need godly teachers and students in our society today. We pray your blessing on them. And as we send these supplies out, Lord, may it be a symbol of your presence that goes with these teachers and with these kids, a symbol that you are present with them every day, and you will use their giftedness to become the people that you created them to be. We pray, Lord, that as a church we continue to support them and to bless them and to love them in Jesus' name. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Okay, and so for each of the students, we have a gift certificate to the farmhouse in Deep Run so that they can use it however they'd like. So if each of the kids will get a little envelope, and it has your gift certificate in it. Anybody else? And for the teachers, we also did a gift certificate to something we all know. Teachers pay teachers, so, you know, we love candy and we love stuff like that, but teachers pay teachers, that's a great wealth of knowledge for teachers, and it's a little gift certificate as well. So I'm going to hand that to, I've got more. And Selena, yes, I've got ours and I'll give them. Here you go. Selena and Beverly. Thank y'all. Thank you for letting us do that.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to page 45. We're going to stand and sing the marked verses of Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Oh, me.
Thank you. You may be seated. Tony has our scripture readings this morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when the people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. New Testament readings, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Miss Kelly Howard has our special music
this
morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be in Deep Run this morning. Before I start singing this morning, first I wanted to give a disclaimer. I told my granddad, I don't know how good this will sound, but we're lifting up a joyful noise to the Lord this morning. So that's all that matters, right? So if I forget the lyrics or something crazy, you've been warned. In all seriousness, is this thing on? Sound like it's on out there? Okay. Perfect. In all seriousness, before I started singing this morning, I wanted to kind of give you a little bit of background on the perspective that this song is being sung from. It's a song called Love Note, and it is literally supposed to be a love note from Christ to his church. And so this morning as I'm singing this song, I'd encourage you to meditate on the lyrics and what they're saying, because it is a really sweet love note from Christ about his love for us and his desire to be in relationship with us, so much so that he sent his only son Jesus to die for us. So without further ado, here's Love Note. I sent my
you can't.
you, Kelly, for that song of worship. And you can sing any time you want. You don't have to ask your granddaddy, all right? All right. As we pray together this morning, there are many needs. Miss Frances, Billy's mom, she's in her last days. So the family's gathered with her, so I don't think it's going to be too much longer, except the miracle from God. So remember them. Do we have any others? Needs?
My mother, Betty Gunner.
Betty Gunner, okay.
George Parent.
George Parent, okay.
Scarlett Justice and Richard Conger.
Scarlett Justice.
And Richard Conger.
Richard Conger. All right. Who else?
Betsy Smith family.
Betsy Smith.
I just want to thank everybody for cards, prayers.
Any others?
Billy Kennedy.
Billy Kennedy, okay.
Pray for our country.
Our country, yes.
Rhonda Cowley.
Rhonda Cowley, okay. Any others?
For protection of President Trump and his family.
Yes, all right. Any others? So we have a lot of needs this morning. Let's remember these. There are many listed on the back of the bulletin. As you pray this week, remember all of these. And certainly remember, be thankful for God's blessings. It is turbulent times that we live in. But, you know, God's present with us. And he's promised to be with us. We need to be thankful that he has given us everything that we need as his people. So let's take action as we pray.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to 493. Stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Glory to His Name.
Glory to His name.
Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank
yes.
you, Lord, for the opportunity to come to your house
mm-hmm.
to worship you. Lord, help us to be thankful for the many things that you have given us. Lord, help us to be your servant in this world, and help us to show Jesus in each thing we do and say. And I ask for these offerings to be used for your service and your glory. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Stand for the doxology. Seated. Our scripture text today comes from Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24. The prophet Jeremiah, again reading verse 23, and it goes like this. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so I cannot see him, declares the Lord. Do I not feel heaven and earth, declares the Lord. I've been noticing a lot of headlines today, a lot of articles about God and the church and about God. And a lot of people have given up on God. And a lot of people ask sarcastically, if your God is so great, where's he at? So I want to talk about that this morning. Where's God when you need him? Evidently, Jeremiah was living in times like us, because speaking here, God says, am I a God at hand, which is what we believe, and not a God far away, which a lot of people think today. Where is your God? Many people may be asking themselves today, where is God? You know, it's a legitimate question, especially with all the uncertainty that we see in our world today. Just look at the news headlines and you'll see political corruption and turmoil and chaos, polarization, divisiveness, high crime, family breakdown. The country is gearing up for another election. And some prominent people are saying because of the intense polarization of our country, it just might involve another civil war. Have y'all been seeing that? Most Americans agree the country is going in the wrong direction, and it's going very fast. On another note, the church isn't doing much better. We've just come through a pandemic in which most churches closed. Some researchers are suggesting that only 20% of churches have reopened. Church attendance has continued to decline. It's estimated that only 47% of Americans attend a house of worship, and most of those attendances are on special days like Christmas and Easter. Research within the church says only 20% of the members of a church actually carry out the work of Jesus Christ. Researchers estimate that 3,850 to 7,000 congregations close a year, which works out to about 75 to 100 congregations a week here in America. Getnut's market data cites a recent statistic that 71% of Americans believe the United States is morally declining. A deep root analysis survey found that 61% of Americans believe American values are getting worse. Very few Americans trust their government to do what is right. 20% compared to 1973, when 73% trusted their government. The majority of Americans today no longer embrace the values of honesty, respect for the rule of law, the sanctity of life, and traditional sexual morality when facing moral issues. And the consequence of moral decline have been devastating. Because when social trust collapses, we know nations fail. A decline in shared moral beliefs led to Americans stating they had no confidence at all in the country's direction. Never in the history of our country has there been such pessimism. Now, I don't want to be the news reporter. Now, you can read that every day in the newspapers, and you can see it. But when I'm in the scripture in Isaiah 5:20, Isaiah, he said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And in Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul reminded Timothy of godless days. "But understand this," he said, "that in the last days will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good." Church, it appears we might just be living in those days. So where is God in all of this? If you're asking where is God right now, I want to tell you the Bible has the answer. God is right beside you, no matter where you are. God is all over the place. Amen.
Amen.
He's omnipresent. That means you can't escape from his presence. Whether or not you believe he exists or not, God is still there. Jeremiah said, and I like the way the Good News Translation says it in that scripture today, "I am God who is everywhere and not in one place." Anybody ever felt like you needed to be in more than one place? God don't have that problem, beloved, because he's everywhere. "Do you not know that I'm everywhere in heaven and on earth. Amen?
Amen.
That means no matter what you're going through, God is with you. When you look at the struggles we're dealing with right now as in our country and in churches across America and in our families and schools and communities, church, God's presence, it changes everything. Now, how does it happen? How does he do it? I just want to mention a few things here this morning about how God's presence changes everything. First thing is, when you're lonely, God is your companion. Has anyone ever felt loneliness before?
Yes.
Okay. We more than likely you have. It's common, we're told. In Psalm 15:26, David, he felt loneliness. He said, "Turn to me and have mercy on me, because I am lonely and hurting." You ever felt that? You're hurting, and you don't have anybody to really share that with. Our world has never had more people, and we've never been more connected to each other. Yet we've also never had a time when we've been lonelier. A report released on Tuesday entitled "Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation" finds that even before the COVID-19 pandemic, about half of U.S. adults reported experiencing measurable levels of loneliness. It's half the people in the United States. And this went on to cite, it says, it warns that loneliness has consequences, physical consequences. Poor connection can be devastating, including 29% increased risk of heart disease, 32% increased risk of stroke, 50% increased risk of developing dementia for older adults. Wow. And you may feel lonely from time to time. Many people report that they have few real relationships in which they can really be authentic and share their true feelings. But beloved, God doesn't want you to feel alone. So what do you do when you experience those moments of uncontrolled loneliness and you can't do anything about it? Simply put, you welcome the presence of God. He's there anyhow. So welcoming into your life. He is your companion. Hebrews 13:5, God says, "I will never leave you or abandon you." You ever felt like some of your closest friends or family abandoned you? You ever felt like that before? Now, God don't have that problem. He's going to always be there for us. He's a friend who knows more about you than any other friend. He even knows more about you than you do. He knows more about me than I know. He made and created us all, and he knows what makes us tick. He knows what we need. He knows where our deficiencies are, and he knows our strengths, and he knows our weaknesses. And God is willing to help us in our time of need. He's also present in his church. Church where his arms, his feet, his eyes. And we can be present with those who feel lonely to bring the very comfort of Almighty God as we serve Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So when you're lonely, remember, God is your companion. Call out to him. Anybody ever been worried before? So we don't need to cite a study for that then, do we? So when you're worried, God is your confidence. Isaiah 43:2 says it this way: when you go through deep waters and great trouble, God says, "I will be with you." When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not be drowned. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Those verses remind me of the three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As they walk through the fire in Daniel chapter 3, and we know that God was there with them. And even though they were in the flames of fire, the only thing that got burned off of them were the ropes of bondage, and they were set free. For many of us, many times we walk through this world, it may seem like we're walking through a fire. Anybody ever felt like you've been in a fire? Like you were going to be consumed by your circumstances? Think about the COVID pandemic we just come through. That was kind of a scary thing there, wasn't it? And we didn't know whether we were going to make it or not. We didn't know if our church was going to survive. We didn't know if we were going to survive, if our country was going to survive. And, you know, we're told now that COVID's back on the rise. And, you know, we're ready for another election. A lot of people are worried about that because of the polarization of our country. And, you know, really, if any of us in our personal lives or in our businesses had the financial sheet of America, we'd have been bankrupt long ago, wouldn't we? None of us can predict what we'll face in days ahead, which can lead us to worry. But be certain of this. God will give us the confidence to continue. God will give us the confidence to make it through. So remember, church, when you worried, God is your confidence. Anybody ever been tempted before?
Yeah.
Three people, all right. When you're tempted, God is your counselor. You know, temptation is tough. And you don't sometimes know who to listen to, do you? A lot of people like to give a lot of advice, don't they? But who do I listen to? When you're tempted, church, God is your counselor. Because no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so you can endure it. Our world is filled with all kinds of temptations today. And really, Satan uses these to turn us from God and to pit us against one another. Divide and conquer. That's the name of his game. No nation or community or person or church is immune from the fire temptations that exist in our world today. And we need godly counsel. And God, we can count on him to be our counselor. He's been there from the beginning, before the world was ever created. In Jesus, it was for him and through him and by him that all things were created. God knows what is for our best. And he also knows exactly where we're struggling. Church, when God is with you, he provides a way out of any temptation that you experience. He's also preparing a route of escape. Isn't that good to know? Because that's the bad thing about temptation, is which way do I go? Who do I believe? What is in my best interest? What is in my family's best interest? What's in the best interest of this temptation that I'm facing? God already knows. And God is pulling for us because he knows where we're struggling. And he's also preparing that escape route. God is able to see the temptation before we see it. And you know, willpower is a good thing. But most times willpower is not enough. It's not enough to keep us from giving in. Beloved, we need God's presence to fight temptation. 1 Peter 5:6, we're given this instruction. Humble yourselves before the Lord, that he might exalt you in due time. And in a time of temptation, we can rely on God to be there and to bring us through. When you're tempted, God is your counselor. Discouraged. Anybody ever been discouraged? Okay, we've been discouraged before, all right? So, you know, when we're discouraged, we can count on God to bring us comfort. If you're discouraged, one thing I can tell you with all confidence is this: God will comfort you. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to those who are discouraged, and he saved those who have lost all hope." If you're discouraged to the point of losing all hope, You can count on God. You can count on God with confidence that he will comfort you. The Bible says that God is able to feel our hurt. God is able also to feel and to know our discouragement. He knows when we struggle. He knows when we're frustrated. Anybody ever been frustrated before?
Yes, yes.
He knows all of these things. Nothing surprises God. Our nation and our family and our church response to difficult circumstances, that the way we respond, it doesn't surprise God either. We might surprise one another with the way we respond to a circumstance, but nothing surprises God. No matter what we're going through, God is walking through it with us. He isn't some impersonal force. He's not some God who's far, far away. Our God is personal. And he is always, never too busy to listen. Now, I know y'all have never been too busy to listen to someone when they had a problem with you. Anybody? You know, sometimes we say, man, I got to come. I can't hear no more of that. I've heard enough of that, you know. But that's not God. He never puts us off. He never says, come back later. He never says, I got another call, another line. You know, he never says those things. To not be involved. He's always sympathetic to the stress and to the discouragement that we're feeling. And beloved, God's presence will change everything about the pain we experience in life. So in conclusion, isn't it great to know that God is always present? The fact that God is always present means that we must walk daily in his presence. Our country may be going in the wrong direction, but it doesn't mean that the church has to blindly follow, does it? It's imperative that we have a godly vision accompanied by a relevant, articulated mission that we can present to the world as an effective life-giving alternative to the worry and the despair that the present world offers. Today, I believe this world must see an authentic church living and breathing in the presence of Almighty God. Amen?
Amen.
The key is found in Psalm 116:9. David said it like this, I walk in the presence of the Lord. Even if God seems a million miles away, he is present. Church, God's presence changes everything. Walk in his presence. Father, we thank you for your word today. It's so encouraging in a world that is filled with discouragement. And we know that everything in our world is not bad, but there are a lot of things that need to be changed because they're ungodly. And we pray as your church that we can walk in your presence, be filled with your anointing, follow the steps of Jesus, and be servants of the living God, that your kingdom may grow and expand and move in our communities, schools, homes, and in our country. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all turn to 639, stand and sing the first and last verses of Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Thank you.
puts in the fun day for this evening for the back to school. Any other word before we leave? Father, we thank you for this day and for your presence. Our prayer is your presence would go with us. May we walk in it feeling your anointing, your power from on high, and your guidance. Help us to be the church, to truly reflect your glory. And we remember those who've asked an interest in our prayers and our fellow brothers and sisters throughout the world. Bless us all. We give you praise, honor, and glory. May Jesus be magnified in all we do. Amen.